Council for UVA ready to proceed?
May it please the court, Joe DiPompo for University of Virginia Patent Foundation. Your Honors, the board erred in finding the echo-time ratio and the flip-angle ratio as lacking support in the written description support in the 182 application because it thought that the Purdue Pharma case required the 182 application to show that those ratios are important. The test, of course, for written description is whether the inventors had possession of the ratios.
How were GE's invocations of Purdue Pharma not directly responsive to your arguments in your response briefs under 37 CFR 4222B?
Your Honor, in terms of why it was untimely?
You argued that it was improper to raise Purdue Pharma. You said that the PTAB had violated the APA.
We did, Your Honor. And the reason is because 37 CFR 42.22A2 requires a petition to set forth a full statement of the reasons for the relief requested.
But their citation was in response to your, was in reply to your response.
Well, it really wasn't, Your Honor, because the rationale used by the board was because the Patent Foundation demonstrated in its response that a skilled artist can derive the full range of both of these ratios, then it was timely. You cited
Vascaff, right?
We did, Your Honor.
And you argued, quote, the Federal Circuit has held that the ranges found in applicants' claims need not correspond exactly to those disclosed, and the test is whether a person's skill could derive the claim range from the disclosure.
That's right.
So they came back with Purdue Pharma.
No, Your Honor, responsive to that would have been, no, a PCETA cannot derive the range from the disclosure because, for example, it requires undue experimentation.
Wasn't Purdue a similar situation?
Not at all, Your Honors. Not at all. Your Honors, it was totally different. This case is dangerous because the board has imposed a test of importance that's simply not, it's not part of the written description test. The board in both final written decisions pointed out that the echo time ratio, there's a value of an effective echo time of 328 milliseconds for the claim pulse sequence and 80 milliseconds for the 180 degree flip angle pulse sequence. That yields a ratio of 4.1. Same with the flip angle ratio. The board acknowledged that there is a disclosure in Figure 3 of flip angles that decrease from 90 degrees to 20 degrees. That's a 22% drop. That's within the range of no more than at least approximately one-third.
But is there any disclosure of any significance to these ranges?
Your Honor, that's where they went wrong.
Or these ratios, I should say.
The question is whether a person of ordinary skill in the art would recognize that these limitations are part of the invention. There's no importance requirement.
A person of skill in the art could certainly do the math and come up with the ratio, but what's the significance?
Don't interrupt the court.
What's the significance of the ratio and what support do you have for claiming a range of
that ratio? GE did not address the most profound issue in this case, and that is the echo time ratio has two components. It requires that the effective echo time of the claim sequence be at least twice either the echo time or effective echo time of 180 degree flip angle pulse sequence. And of course, the board was hung up. We don't emphasize those as being part of your invention. But those limitations also require that the claim sequences produce images having substantially the same T2 weighted contrast at that ratio. The 182 application demonstrates it shows images obtained using the 180 degree flip angle pulse sequence at the 80 millisecond echo time. And side by side, it shows images at the 328 millisecond effective echo time of the claim pulse sequence. And the 182 application compares those two and says they have substantially the same T2 weighted contrast. That's the comparison. The effective echo times of the two pulse sequences.
Where in the 182 application is the effective echo time of the allegedly inventive method compared or related to that of the turbo spin echo or fast spin echo RF pulse sequences?
It's not, Your Honors, but the board treated those limitations as the same. And I can point you to the citation. What the board concluded, what is compared, it's against a conventional spin echo pulse sequence. Conventional spin echo pulse sequences all use 180 degree flip angle, use flip 180 degree flip angles. Turbo spin echo and fast spin echoes sequences, some of the claims require comparison to turbo spin echo, fast spin echo sequences with 180 degrees. The board pointed out, both experts testified that those limitations are the same because they, when the effective echo time of a turbo spin echo sequence equals the echo time of a conventional, they produce images having substantially the same contrast. The board recognized this, and they said we need to...
Where are you reading?
It is... I have it here, Your Honor, and they treated those, they said those should be...
What's the appendix site?
Yeah, I'm going to...
Just so we can follow you.
I understand. It's in the final written decision for the 357. Oh, ah, here it is. It is at FX 19.
19, okay.
Okay.
So they treated them the same. So...
Is there is something in particular on that page that you're referring to? I just want to make sure I'm following your argument.
Yes, Your Honor. On APEX 19, in the first paragraph, fifth line down, both Dr. Pelk and Dr. Hennig testified that these limitations may be considered essentially the same. So they call it the echo time ratio limitation. So you and it cites where in the record, paragraph 90 of Dr. Pelk's declaration and paragraph 47 through 48 of Dr. Hennig's declarations. Both experts testified those limitations can be treated the same.
Okay.
You argue that the effective echo time should be assumed to be one half of the echo train duration, and that disclosure in the 182 application regarding lengthening echo train duration should be a proxy for the echo time ratio, because, quote, the effective echo time at which the claimed pulse sequence generates images having a given contrast increases as the echo train duration increases. Where is that in the disclosure in the 182 application?
Your Honor, we didn't argue that it necessarily has to be one half. Now I will say in the 182 application at APEX 672, it explains that the primary objective of the claim pulse sequence is to obtain to extend the echo train duration while obtaining images that have substantially the same T2 weighted contrast of 180 degree flip angle pulse sequence.
In your preliminary response before the PTAB, you argued that the definition of effective echo time in the specification is not tied to a specific fraction of the echo train duration. Aren't you stopped from arguing a different position now?
No, not at all, Your Honor. The effective echo time is merely a point in the echo train duration that will produce a certain T2 weighted contrast for an image. It can be set anywhere. The experts testify that it can be set anywhere. That's why there's this misunderstanding. Again, it's never been addressed by GE, and even in their appeal brief, and the board certainly didn't address it. It is plainly part of the invention to have the echo train ratio because there are two aspects. You don't just look at whether 328 is compared to 80. You have to look at the other aspect, which requires the images produced by those claimed by those pulse sequences have to produce images having substantially the same T2 weighted contrast, and they are compared there.
How much work would a person's skill have to do to derive the echo time ratio limitation from the 182 application's written description?
The board never got there, Your Honor. Very simple. The board never got there because they concluded that under Purdue Pharma, since you can't glean the ratios, then whether you can derive the range is immaterial. So the board never got to whether you can derive the range. However, both experts said it's a very simple matter. The specification tells you you can adjust the various parameters, the echo train length, for example, by just increasing it or decreasing it, you can readily derive the full range of that limitation. But again, the board didn't get there. They got hung up on the ratios. And Your Honors, this is an important case because we point out, in this respect, we point out there is the motion point case, which expressly tells us that Purdue Pharma does not stand for the idea that the ratio must be important or relevant. And here's why the comparison to Purdue Pharma is wrong, Your Honors. In Purdue Pharma, the limitation was Cmax over C24 ratio. That was a plasma concentration ratio. It had to be greater than twice. On page 1327 of the Purdue Pharma opinion, the court stresses Cmax over C24 is not part of your invention. It's not an aspect of your invention. It has nothing to do with your invention. The language on page 1327 in Purdue Pharma, it says the inventive formulations are characterized by the fact that you rapidly increase the Cmax. Cmax to C24, there's nothing in the spec that tells us it's part of your invention. Now, that there were other issues, too. There were examples of Cmax over C24 that were greater than twice, which the limitation required, and some where it was less than twice. But the problem, what's happened here, Your Honor, the board took that language saying we don't emphasize if there's no emphasis. They've created this importance requirement, and it's a dangerous case. If suddenly there is now an importance requirement for the written description test, already one board, the motion point, the board in the motion point case had to address it. And that's what the board has done here. They didn't look at whether a skilled artisan thinks it's part of the ratio. They just said, oh, it's not emphasized, it's not important. 328 and 80, nobody tells me to compare those two. Would it tell you to compare those two if you just look at the other component of that limitation, which says, again, that the T2-weighted contrast in images produced by those pulse sequences have to be substantially the same. And the specification puts images side by side of the 328 millisecond effective echo time for the claimed pulse sequence and the 80 millisecond echo time for the 180 degree flip angle pulse sequence and says compare them. They're substantially the same. So it's plainly part of the invention, and that's what the board missed. GE has never addressed it in their pleadings. Same with the...
You're into your rebuttal time, just so you know.
Okay.
You can keep going.
Well, just a quick point on the flip angle. The flip angle ratio. This 182 application makes clear they're trying to extend the echo train duration. By doing that, you get benefits. Less exposure to a patient, radiation exposure, shorter time for the MR exam. Well, at the same time, producing images having substantially the same T2 weighted contrast as 180 degree flip, the prior 180 degree flip angle pulse sequences. Both experts testified that to obtain the longer duration, you have to drop the flip angles significantly and substantially at the beginning of the echo train. That's what the flip angle ratio requires. A drop of no more than at least approximately one-third. So you've got to drop it down significantly. There's disclosure of a drop from 90 to 20. Dr. Pelt, GE's expert, testified if you reduce the flip angles early, you will have a longer echo train. So he acknowledged that. Dr. Hennig explained you have to drop the flip angles early because that allows you to preserve magnetization, which will allow you to have a longer echo train duration. It's plainly part of the invention. The flip angle ratio of dropping flip angles to a value of no more than at least one-third is also part of the invention. The board didn't address that. They just said it's not emphasized. And that is not the test under Purdue Pharma. They confused Purdue Pharma as requiring this rule that now there's an emphasis or importance requirement, and that's dangerous because already a different board has encountered that issue and said, wait a minute, that's not part of the written description test. Thank you, Your Honor.
You have a little time left. I didn't mention to everyone, thank you for accommodating us on our rescheduling.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. And I'm David Pollack for General Electric. May it please the Court. This Court should affirm the Board's determination of unpatentability, because those well-reasoned decisions of the Board are compelled by this Court's written description jurisprudence. As set forth en banc in Ariad, The board's inquiry was, does the 182 application itself, and I quote...
Let me ask you a housekeeping question.
Certainly.
Which I started with your brethren. Why wasn't your Purdue Pharma argument raised in your initial petitions for IPR? It would have seemed to have fit there.
So a couple practical applications, Your Honor. First, the IPR petitions had a number of arguments in them, and we couldn't fully flesh out all the arguments at that time. But that's a practical matter. But as a much more important matter, the Purdue Pharma decision didn't become on point and we feel controlling authority until, as you pointed out, the foundation raised its argument, its derivability argument, in its IPR response. And in GE's reply, IPR reply, we thus raised Purdue Pharma because we thought it was dispositive of that issue. And in fact, the foundation made exactly this timeliness argument to the board in its request for rehearing. And the board replied, or the board responded, and said, Purdue Pharma was cited to respond directly to arguments made by UVAPF in its patent owner response. And that's at Appendix 8197. Now, Your Honor, so the decisions of this court, including the en banc Ariad decision, require not only that the specification clearly allow persons of ordinary skill in the art to recognize the inventor invented what is claimed, but it also tells us not just what the written description test is, but also importantly, it tells us what the written description test is not. And it is not an obviousness test, and it is not an enablement test, which address the derivability argument. And it is not, as the foundation argues, a derivability test. In fact, Purdue Pharma says explicitly that derivability is immaterial if the limitation is not disclosed in the priority document. And finally, as this court has said many times, written description is a question of fact, and therefore it's subject to the substantial evidence review. And let's review that evidence, because counsel for the foundation tends to overlook it. So starting with the 182 application itself, and that's in Appendix 669 to 687. Even a lay examination of the 182 application confirms that the claimed ratios do not appear, in hoc verba or otherwise. All that is present in that application is a mere listing of or diagram showing a multitude of parameters. As the board found in its final written decisions, and also in denying the foundation's request for rehearing, there is no comparison of the claim parameters, nor identification of a ratio between them, nor disclosure that the ratios should be calculated. That should be dispositive here. And that's at Appendix 2156 and 8196. Similarly, none of the claimed ratios of twice, one-third, or 15%, sorry, none of the claimed limits of twice, one-third, or 15% appears in the application, nor the claimed direction from those missing limits. Now, turning to the expert's interpretation of the application, GE's expert provided evidence that shows an ordinary artisan, likewise, would not find disclosure of the claimed ratios, the claimed limits, or the claimed directions. And that's in his expert report at Appendix 389 to 397. The board's final written decisions repeatedly found GE's expert, Dr. Pelk, credible and persuasive. That appears, I think, five times in the written decisions, the appendix at 9, 28, 44, 63, and 64. And even the foundation's expert agrees that for the two effective echo time ratios, as Your Honor pointed out, there was no disclosure at all of an effective echo time ratio for the fast spin echo sequence. And although GE's expert said that the contrast for the fast spin echo sequence and the spin echo sequence are the same, they're not the same in the claims. Disclosure of one does not provide written description for another. And the foundation's expert also admitted that there is no comparison of a variable effective echo time to the echo time for the spin echo sequence that was disclosed in Figure 4. And that appears at Appendix 7128 and 7130. This absence of disclosure and the expert testimony confirming that absence provides substantial evidence to affirm the board's written decisions. Now, counsel for the foundation discussed Purdue Pharma. And he said that Purdue Pharma is totally different and twice described it as dangerous. But as the board appeared, or as the board repeatedly observed, the facts in the Purdue Pharma case are similar to our facts and underscore why written description is absent here. Indeed, the similarities are uncanny. Both Purdue Pharma and the dispute here today involve medical inventions with a multitude of parameters. Both of them claim ratios that compare two of those many uncompared parameters. Both require that the ratio be within a limit. And in fact, for two of the limits in the effective echo time limits and the Cmax to C24 limit in Purdue Pharma, that ratio is greater than two. But neither includes any discussion of two, twice, or being greater than two or twice. And both of those cases, or both the disclosures indeed, include statements about the importance of a key feature of the invention, and it's related to the claimed limitations that are missing, but it is not a key feature because those claimed limitations are not present at all or discussed. For the purposes of this issue that's before...
Expound on that, please.
That
expand on what you just said.
So in Purdue Pharma, the key limitation was the rapid release of opioid into the bloodstream. And here in this case, the key disclosure of the invention is extending the echo train duration while maintaining the same contrast. Now, the echo train duration and the same contrast certainly are related to the effective echo time. The effective echo time does have some effect on the contrast, but they're not the same. And, Your Honor, that brings up an important issue. I invite you to turn to the final written decision, because the board there laid this or provided a great example of these limitations being different. Not only is the key...
Where are you citing?
I'm at Appendix 5, Your Honor.
Okay.
And it's just a reproduction of Claim 75. You can turn to the patent itself, but given my eyes, I find the reproduction of the final written decision much more convenient. So at Appendix 5, they list claim... It reproduces Claim 75. And counsel for the foundation talked about extending the echo train duration and maintaining the same contrast as being part of the effective echo time limitation. They are not. They're related, but they certainly aren't part of the effective echo time limitation. And if you look in Claim 75, the first where-in clause talks about lengthening the usable echo train duration and obtaining the desired image contrast. The second where-in clause at the bottom of Appendix 5 talks about a T2-weighted contrast being substantially the same as the turbospin echo contrast. Now, you have to turn over to the next page, Appendix 6, and at the bottom of a separate where-in clause, finally we see the effective echo time being at least twice the effective echo time of the turbospin echo or fast spin echo sequence. GE doesn't dispute that extending the echo time or echo duration is supported by this specification. It also doesn't dispute that the desired image contrast, or the image contrast being the same, are supported by this specification. They are. But importantly, the effective echo time ratio, which formed the basis of these claims, is not described anywhere in the 182 application, and therefore this patent is not entitled to the priority date of the 182 application, and there's no dispute that if it's not entitled to the priority date, it's invalid over an article.
Does the application mention at all the effective echo times of turbo spin echo or fast spin echo of RF pulse sequences?
No, Your Honor, it does not. For the traditional 180-degree constant flip angle sequence, turbo spin echo sequence, it does not mention the effective echo time of that at all. It mentions the echo time of 180-degree spin echo sequence, but the fast spin echo sequence doesn't appear anywhere.
Do you have any idea how much, the same question I asked your opposing counsel, how much time it would take a PASITA, how much work to derive the echo time ratio limitation?
And so at the time, well, first of all, no, I wasn't there in 2000.
When yeah, I mean happened. In the record, you know.
I'm also not a PhD in electrical engineering, but I don't need to be because there's evidence in the record of how long that would take. So the inventor agreed that at the time of the 182 application, that nobody understood how the variable flip angle sequence affected contrast. And he said that that wasn't determined until 5 to 6 years later. I have that record site. 1 second. And there's also an email from the inventor that talks about if one adjusts the parameters of the sequence, and this was from about the time it was developed, that they were likely to receive or likely to generate bad images. Sorry, Your Honor, that. I apologize. That citation is Appendix 7460, I believe. So I don't know how long it would take, but even the inventor himself didn't know how adjusting the flip angles would affect the contrast. But at least as important, that's the enablement test. That's a different test. And as Ariad tells us, the written description test polices a different requirement of the patent, the bargain between the public and patentees. The enablement test is the one that polices the amount of experimentation. And the written description test is focused on the writing. It's not focused on what an inventor, what knowledge an inventor brings to the patent. It's not focused on how long it would take an inventor to go and determine the things that are missing from the specification. It doesn't care. The written description test is part of the bargain between the public and the patentee that requires a patentee to set forth what its invention is. And here, the patentee didn't set that forth regarding the effective echo time ratios or regarding the flip angles, and therefore, the patent is not entitled to the 182 priority date. Now, Your Honor, I have to address one more issue. Counsel for the Foundation said that both GE and the board made a profound mistake. That GE didn't address it and the board didn't get it. And that is the relationship between extending the effective echo time and the missing limitations. Well, GE did address it, but more important, the board addressed it in denying rehearing requested by the Foundation. I point you to Appendix 8195. And in response to the Foundation's argument that the board overlooked that, what the board responded with was, at the bottom of 8195, we further concluded the alleged relationship between that key feature, which is extending the effective echo time, and the echo time ratio is not described in the 182 application. And therefore, it was not sufficient to direct a skilled artisan to the recited echo time ratio limitation. The board took this on and addressed it squarely. So in conclusion, Your Honors, the purpose of the written description requirement is to notify the public as to the scope of the invention. This public notice function is important because, as VASCAF tells us, it prevents an inventor from later overreaching. And I quote, pretending that his invention is more than what it really is. That's what the Foundation is doing here. Here, the board determined that the provisional application did not support the over 200 claims that issued 13 years after the 182 application. To excuse its overreach, the Foundation asked this court to apply not the statutory written description test, but a new and unsupported derivability test. The Foundation's derivability test is divorced from the specification and instead fills any gaps in the specification with the knowledge and experiments of an ordinary artisan. That cannot be correct. As one of the board's judges observed during the hearing, I can't import, and I quote, I can't import the entire knowledge of a person of ordinary skill into every single specification. There would be no written description problems ever if I were to do that. And that's at Appendix 8101. GE requested this court likewise reject the Foundation's expert-based derivability test and enforce the statutory requirement for written description. G respectfully requests affirmance of the board's final written decisions.
Thank you, counsel. You got a little over a minute there.
Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honor, this is legal error. This is not a substantial evidence situation. This is an instance where the board has read Purdue Pharma to graft on an importance requirement. The board said, acknowledging that the values for these ratios are disclosed, 328 and 80 and 90 and 20, those values are disclosed. It says they don't emphasize those ratios, ascribe significance to them, compare the values, or specify any relationship. That is an importance requirement. We have a subsequent IPR also with the same limitations. It's being briefed now. It's coming up. The board held those claims unpatentable under Purdue Pharma and specifically said, we read Purdue Pharma to call for, as to require that the limitation be stated as important. There is a problem. That is not what Purdue Pharma stands for. Purdue Pharma in Purdue Pharma, they said you didn't emphasize the Cmax C24 ratio as being having anything to do with your invention. Instead, your invention is increasing the speed at which you increase to Cmax. It didn't impose an emphasis or importance limitation. Secondly, on the points that the echo train duration, both experts testify if you increase the duration while trying to maintain the same, I'm out of time, Your Honors. Thank you.
You can say one last sentence.
Your Honor, if you increasing the duration while maintaining the same T2-weighted contrast of the images of 180-degree flip angle sequence, you necessarily increase the echo time ratio. Both experts testify to that.
You were into your second sentence there.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize, Your Honor.
That's fine. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you.